Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, our next guest certainly practices what he preaches. He has basically got inspired by the Bible to choose a very rather dramatic course of action, moving his whole family from the streets of Melbourne to one of the largest slums in Bangkok, Thailand. His name is Ash Barker. He is the founder of Melbourne's Urban Neighbours of Hope, and he's the author of many books, the latest of which is called Make Poverty Personal. And he joins us now. Ash, welcome back to Australia and welcome to Open House.
Yeah, thank you, Sheridan. It's great to be back.
Yeah, a bit. How long has it been since you last were here?
I actually came last year for a Surrender conference in Melbourne, but we're also visiting actually a new team of, you know, in Sydney's West, out at Mount Druitt.
Okay, all right. How did you start this quite amazing journey?
I grew up in a church that took missions pretty seriously, and it was kind of part of our DNA in Melbourne, and just wanted to make a difference in the world, really. I actually went to a pretty tough technical school, Keysborough Technical School, and was a bit, I don't know, there comes a point where if God's real, I want to throw my life in to whatever God wants, or if it's not, I just want to have a good time with my friends. And God really kind of did a number on me. I really encountered him in a special way and wanted to give my life, no matter where that would end up, and put no limits on what God could do. And ended up going to Bible college, and then did 10 years working in Springvale with refugees and migrants before we had an opportunity to go to Kontoi in the slums.
Mm. Well, so many people will be very happy to support somebody who's going to the slums of Bangkok, or be happy to talk about it or raise funds for it, but actually making the decision to go is another thing altogether. How did you make that decision to move not just you, but your wife, your kids over to one of the largest slums there is?
Yeah, I mean, Bangkok is a Kontoi slum. It has about 80,000 people in 2 square kilometres, and our house is about the size of 4 double beds right in the middle of it. Mm. And my wife and 2 kids, Aiden and Amy, are right in the middle of it too. So, look, the short answer for that, I mean, is that God takes you on a journey, and you take a few steps at a time. And for us, our first step was into Springvale to relocate into a very needy neighbourhood in Melbourne. We got to know people, and I mean, look, God kind of does miracles in people's lives. You know, we go out to try and share with others, and God changes them. But there's another miracle that happens, and God changes us. And we can give up our selfishness. We can give up a whole lot of things. And God, and one step at a time, we're able to make some choices and decisions. And 2002, when we decided to to go back a little bit further, in '97. We thought maybe we would go to Vietnam because we're working a lot with Vietnamese people in Springvale. And we thought, well, you know, maybe our chance to go to the developing world would be with Vietnamese friends. But when we went there, we couldn't do a lot of things that we were good at. We couldn't live in the neighbourhood. We couldn't, for Ange, engage with some of the poorest in projects, small projects. And for me, church planting and leadership development with people was very hard to do because of the communist restrictions. They wouldn't let Westerners live in poor communities. So we came back, we recommitted to Melbourne with the idea of a sabbatical. And so we had 3 months in, we'd planned to go to Vietnam. We couldn't get visas at the last minute. And actually my friend in Canberra now, that I'm staying with, he was at the Australian Embassy, and he said, look, I've just been to the slums in Bangkok. There's a big AIDS hospice. We've got great slums here in Bangkok. You'll love it. And and we did. We had 3 months there, and we just fell in love with the people and the community. Mm. And in 2002, we had the opportunity to relocate and to do something that has been on our heart always to do.
To do.
I mean, some people think it's a punishment for doing or something, but we just see it's a great joy to be able to give up what you have and to throw yourself into something you really believe in.
Okay, now tell me about the joy. What have you experienced in that slum in Bangkok that's brought joy into your life?
It's hard. The joy comes hard won. The community centre where we work in was ready to be closed. They'd run out of money. They were overwhelmed by the needs. And now the community centre, 7 years later, is hive of activity. You know, kids are learning to read and write. There's a handicraft industry going on that employs 90 women who all have come out of drug addiction and prostitution and jail kind of backgrounds, and their lives are totally different. So the joy, I think, comes from seeing the difference that you've made, that every day you know, you see lives that are being impacted, and that's a real privilege. There's not too many people, I think, alive that have that kind of privilege every day to see some really tangible ways that your life makes a difference.
Yes. Ash Barker is with us on Open House. He's founded the Melbourne organisation Urban Neighbours of Hope, and now has spent the last 6 years in a Bangkok slum with his wife and his kids. You know, Ash, even the fact that your wife and your kids are with you is quite something. God has put you with a wife who was willing to actually go to one of the poorest areas in the world.
Yeah, Angela and I actually stood up together at a Tony Campolo rally when we were like 17, 18 years old. We didn't meet at that rally. We met 6 months later. Angela was going to go to Haiti. I was going to go to China, and we ended up spending 10 years in Springvale, and then yeah, now the last 6, 7 years in Bangkok. So yeah, we're both committed, equally committed to the same kind of things, and it's a real, you know, it's been a real partnership.
Yeah, paint a picture of what you see every day in that Bangkok slum, and it must be very, very difficult to come back and communicate that to other people.
It is hard. I mean, it's a very densely populated urban area. The open sewers. In the wet season, we get flooded out, and just much fun with open sewers together with it. I mean, you wake up in the morning and we take our kids off to school, and it does feel actually quite, in the morning where it's a bit cooler, like you're in the best, it's like a big urban village. People are coming out, people are washed and white-shirted, and off they go, and you feel like it's this big urban village. But come the middle of the day, I mean, early days saying, wow, why wouldn't you want to live in this big urban village? You know everybody, you're talking to people, walking to the community centre, you meet, you know, 15, 20 people that you know, and the kids you've taught football and the whole thing, why wouldn't you want to live here? But come midday and the stink and the heat and everything kind of grinds you down and think, how can anybody live here? And you know, look, we had 50 homes about 2 weeks ago burnt down, purposely burnt down by the authorities. People, you know, but no one died, luckily. But it can happen like that really quickly. Mafia, organised crime is really common. One of our neighbours was stabbed recently, and another guy was shot in the head by a policeman on purpose. And some of our preschool kids saw that, witnessed all that happening. So you, at times you feel like, how can anybody live here? This is unfair. And of course, in the world today, there's 1 billion people living in urban slums. It's going to be 2 billion by 2020, the UN are predicting, and that's like 40% of the world's population are going to be living like this. Yeah. And so you have this love-hate kind of thing. You see the potential in the people. You see the, you know, the incredible tenacity of people just to survive. And there are moments of great joy where, you know, you have a party or you have something kind of going on. You win a football game, or you see someone getting a job for the first time and able to really do well with the kids. There's those moments, but there's also this great despair. AIDS is also a terrible disease in our community, and some of our kids just recently, just before I left, her dad died and her mum's been diagnosed with AIDS, and so she'll be an orphan pretty soon. And they're really late in on this, so the medications will be limited value. And so, you have the extreme of life.
Ash, in this latest book of yours, Make Poverty Personal, you kind of throw out the challenge to your readers and you say, you know, will you be part of the problem or part of the solution in ending oppression? It's a whole bunch of people listening and listening to your story and saying, well, I don't know if I could ever do that, if I could ever give up what I've got here to go and live in that Bangkok slum or someplace like that. What challenge do you give to people? What credible challenge can you give?
Oh, look, not everyone's going to live in a slum. Although, you know, 40% of the people of the world are living in slums very soon, we've got to have more people willing to go and serve and get, you know, have the kind of life that is meaningful in, you know, in our time in history. But everyone can engage someone who's facing poverty. You know, that's the message of the book, that, you know, Shane Claiborne, actually, a friend of mine, did a survey, asked Christians, strong followers of Jesus, did Jesus spend time with the poor? And 80% say yes. But then he asked, do you spend time with the poor? Those strong followers of Jesus, only 2% said yes, they did that. And I think that's the challenge. Poverty isn't just about lack of cash. It isn't just about living in a slum. Poverty is about lack of choices, about the kind of oppression and the kind of lack of dignity. And that can happen in Australia. It can happen with people with mental illness. It can happen with the lonely and isolation that can happen for people here. Mother Teresa says, you know, loneliness is the leprosy of the West.
That's right.
And that is true. And so every person can engage those who are poorer than them, and at a personal level, and out of those personal encounters and friendships, all kinds of things are possible. And actually, things like the Bible make a whole lot more sense when we're engaging with people who are struggling and on the edges. And you can't read your Bible, you can't read Jesus' stories about touching lepers, about, you know, the Good Samaritans, even the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are you who are poor and woe to you who are rich. Those things don't make sense unless we're involved with those who are on the edges.
Yeah, very well put. Well, Ash, thanks for your time tonight. The book is called Make Poverty Personal, The Bible's Call to End Depression, and it's available from your organisation in Melbourne, the Urban Neighbours of Hope.
Yeah, Coorong have been stocking it, and Coorong have been terrific with all our, you know, publications. So go to Coorong and buy it there.
Good to hear from you, Ash, and all the best as you go back to that what sounds like the place of utter devastation but utter life as well.
Great. Thank you, Sheldon. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, that's Ash Barker. Yeah, Make Poverty Personal, the book is called The Bible's Call to End Oppression.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.